Our text for this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. We're reading chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. I hope to connect this passage with the passage Robert read earlier for us in 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, chapter 13. But I invite you now to hear these words in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Scripture says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all. It would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased.' Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law.' Then he said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." May God bless the reading of this word today. So I don't know if you're aware, you may know this, but in the month of February, there are many, many different observances and events that are celebrated. In fact, there are more than 60 different observances during the month of February. Now, I'm not going to tell you all 60 plus of them, right? But listen to just a few of these. You may not be aware of what we are celebrating during the month of February. First, February is Adopt a Rescued Rabbit Month. If you're looking for a rabbit, this is your month, all right? February is Chocolate Lovers Month. That makes sense, right? We know about that, Valentine's Day. It is also Creative Romance Month. I'm not going to preach about that this morning, but I'll leave that to you. It is International Boost Self-Esteem Month. February is Library Lovers Month. It is National Bird Feeding Month. It is, get this, National Care About Your Indoor Air Month. February is National Hot Breakfast Month. No cold breakfasts this month. It is National Sweet Potato Month. It is National Time Management Month. And then these are my two favorite. February is Return Shopping Carts to the Supermarket Month. And February, finally, is Spunky Old Broads Month. Now, some of these are silly, I know, you know, but there may be some emphases here that are important to you. But probably of all the things we focus on during the month of February, my guess is the one that comes to mind most is love. Valentine's Day, taking center stage. Romantic relationships, yes, but really all relationships become the focus of our attention during the month of February. With that in mind, I was reminded as I worked on this sermon of three words that were spoken to me several years ago. Here are the three words. Relationships involve sacrifice. Relationships involve sacrifice. Now, those three words were spoken to me by a woman who I worked for when I shared with her that Amy and I were now engaged to be married. Now, she and her husband at the time had been married more than 60 years, so I thought she probably knows what she's talking about. And I took those words to mind. Relationships involve sacrifice. Now, there are many examples we could probably point to this morning about how relationships involve sacrifice, but one that kind of comes to my mind this morning, kind of a silly example, but it is the remote control. You know, if one person has the remote control in his or her hand, then there's a lot of power there, right? A lot of control. And the other person may have to sacrifice what he or she wants to watch. In our house, when I have the remote control, then usually the TV is on sports or maybe a Seinfeld rerun or maybe a documentary, something like that. When Amy has the remote control, we are generally watching an award show, if there's one on. We are watching a comedy, or during the Olympics, we're probably going to be watching a lot of ice skating in the next couple of weeks. And you know, if it comes to deciding what to watch on a streaming service like Netflix or Apple TV or something like that, an outsider might think we are brokering a peace arrangement between Israel and the Palestinians, trying to figure out exactly what we're going to watch on TV. It's not an argument per se, it's just making the decision about what to watch. But here's the point. If you are channel surfing, the person who is remote control-less, without the remote control, may have to sacrifice and not get to watch what he or she wants to watch. It's a small sacrifice, but I think it might be an indication of the willingness of the person to make a larger sacrifice. When someone is sick, when someone is busy, when there's little time or maybe there's a crisis. Those words spoken by my friend many years ago, relationships involve sacrifice. This is not just true of marriages or dating relationships. All effective, meaningful relationships involve sacrifice. Marriage, family, friendships, church relationships, co-workers, in the community, on and on it goes. To be in a relationship with another person demands that at times I have to give up what I want for the good of the other person. Well, often, as we said, those sacrifices are small. But there are times when we face much larger sacrifices. I shared with some of you a few years ago that several years ago, my aunt desperately needed a liver transplant. But there were many people on the transplant list, and there were very few donors. There was another option. There was a new technique that was being developed at that time, and someone could actually donate part of his or her liver. And if they were compatible, then my aunt and the other person, the other donor, would then have a portion of a liver growing inside of them and functioning, hopefully, in a good capacity. Well, who would be the donor? My cousin, my aunt's daughter, volunteered. And through a delicate operation, the doctors removed part of my cousin's liver and they placed it into my aunt. The surgery was risky, but the possibilities were worth the risk. And though my aunt continued to struggle with her health, the surgery was successful and it actually extended my aunt's life far beyond what she would have been able to live. My cousin willingly sacrificed her health and potentially her life because of her relationship and her love for her mother. Relationships involve sacrifice. In our text for today in Hebrews, we are reminded that Jesus willingly gave himself, he gave his own life as a sacrifice for us. Remember these words. The text said, God no longer desires the sacrifices of animals. Instead, God intends and desires one sacrifice that would serve as the one and only sacrifice for all times. God desired that instead of continually making sacrifices, there would be one sacrifice that would be sufficient. And in response to God's desire and intention, the scripture says Jesus replied by saying, "Here I am, Lord. I have come to do your will." Because of his love for us, Jesus gave his own life as a sacrifice for our relationship with God. Relationships involve sacrifice. Last Sunday, we gathered around the communion table, and we participate in that service several times a year. Why? Because in part, it reminds us of the sacrificial act that Jesus made for us. He gave his life for us, and we gather around God's table periodically to remember that sacrifice. But we don't just remember it around the table. That's not the only time we remember it. We also remember Jesus' sacrifice in many other times and occasions. Today, many countries around many churches around our country today are observing Four Chaplains Sunday. Not every church does this. We don't do this on an annual basis, but Four Chaplains Sunday is significant. In the middle of the night on February the 3rd, 1943, 79 years ago, this past Thursday, the troop ship Dorchester was making its way across the North Atlantic Ocean. As the ship ventured through some icy waters making its way toward Greenland, it was packed to capacity with more than 900 military personnel. The Dorchester was only about 150 miles from Greenland when it was spotted by a German submarine. Torpedoes were fired. The Dorchester was hit. The hit was decisive. It was deadly, striking far below the waterline, knocking out all power on board the vessel. Aboard the ship, you can imagine panic and chaos set in. The blast killed scores of soldiers right when the torpedoes hit. Many others were seriously wounded. Those who were able to were madly clamoring around in the dark, frantically searching for life jackets, rafts, flotation devices, anything that would provide them some kind of safety. The scene was pure pandemonium. But in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the uproar, Four Chaplains brought hope in the midst of despair, light in the midst of darkness. These four chaplains were Clark Poling, a Dutch Reformed minister, Johnny Washington, a Catholic priest, Alexander Goode, a Jewish rabbi, and George Fox, a Methodist minister. Quickly and quietly, these four chaplains spread out among the soldiers to begin to calm their fears, to pray with them, to offer encouragement. As the Dorchester quickly began to sink, the chaplains opened a large storage locker and began distributing life jackets as fast as they could to the petrified soldiers. It was then that their amazing sacrificial act occurred. Witnesses say that as the ship was sinking, the supply of life jackets quickly was exhausted. And the four chaplains took off their own life jackets and they gave them to four young soldiers nearby. As the ship sank into the icy waters, witnesses say that the four chaplains were standing arm in arm, linked together, each praying to God. Four different expressions of faith, but prayers often offered united together as they sacrificed their lives. When Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, remember what he said. "Greater love hath no one than this, that a person would lay down his or her life for another." This morning, so we remember the tremendous sacrifice of four chaplains 79 years ago, we're also reminded of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we read these words in Hebrew. Hebrews, because what we are told is this: because Jesus sacrificed his life, listen to this, we have been made holy through his sacrifice of his body and of his blood. Once and for all, we have been made holy. It is as if Jesus took off his life jacket and gave it to us. He willingly sacrificed his life so that we might live. There is no greater love. A woman who worked in a hospital for many years tells the following true story. These are her words. "Many years ago, when I worked as a volunteer at a hospital, I got to know a little girl named Liz who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed antibodies that were needed by Liz to combat the illness. The doctor sat down and explained the situation to her little brother and asked if the little boy would be willing to give his blood to his sister. The woman writes, I saw him hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, yes, I will do it if it will save her. As the transfusion progressed, he lay in the bed next to his sister and he smiled, as we all did, she said, seeing the color return to her face. Then his face grew pale. The smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, will I die right away or how soon? She writes, the boy had misunderstood. He thought he would have to give his sister all of his blood in order to save her. Relationships involve sacrifice. One final thought this morning. Our relationship with God also involves a sacrifice, not just on God's part, but also on ours. What does God ask of you to sacrifice? I read a statement this week. It is a challenging statement. It says, not true worship if we attend when we want to, serve when we have to, give when we feel like it. Not true worship if we attend when we want to, serve when we have to, give when we feel like it. Without sacrifice, there is no true worship. Mark Crowley writes, Christianity is not a way of doing certain things, but a certain way of doing everything. What sacrifice does God ask of you? This morning, on this Sunday after February the 3rd, Four Chaplains Day, we remember relationships involve sacrifice. All of our relationships, every relationship in your life and mine involve sacrifice, even our relationship with God. For love is patient. Love is kind. Love always protects. Love always perseveres because love never fails. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity of them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Relationships. All relationships involve sacrifice. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are reminded today of just how much you love us. We are thankful, God, that in your providence, through sacrifice, you have provided a way for us to truly live. Help us to always remember the sacrifice you have made for us, and help us to remember that in all of our relationships of life, we too are to sacrifice as well. So lead us and guide us in these ways, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.